What's up, what's up? You are now listening to FY Fly the Podcast, and I'm your host, Hassan Thomas, along with Remy, and we are here to share tools on how millennials can budget, save, invest, and understand student debt and credit to achieve financial freedom. If you're a high school student, college student, or someone who's interested in gaining more financial insight, this podcast is for you.
I'm trying to give me a bag. 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 I'm trying to give me a bag.
What's up, my fly folks out there? Happy y'all can make it back to FY Fly the Podcast. And I wanted to give a quick shout out to that man, LeBron James, for winning his fourth title and definitely one of the greatest athletes ever. Now, if we're talking about greatest player ever, I think that man got six rings there, undefeated in the finals. But that's another topic for another conversation. My interview with Dr. Makeba Butler was so fly, man. We decided to bring her back on for another part two. So let's jump right in. This episode of FY Fly is being brought to you by GuapCoin. GuapCoin is a decentralized digital coin founded by people of color that can be traded between peers instantly. GuapCoin is fast, secure, and highly scalable. Now, GuapCoin is for everybody, but their primary mission is to uplift those economic communities that have been left out of the cryptocurrency revolution. For more information, visit guapcoin.org or email tevans@guapcoin.com. DM us a question at FYFly on Instagram or Facebook for your chance to win 100 guap coins. We will be choosing four lucky winners to receive 100 guap coins apiece. Stay safe, stay invested, and stay guaped up. So now we're going to switch gears a little bit. Can you tell us, you know, why is it so important to start building credit early?
Well, because it's a beast trying to fix credit later.
Simple as that.
Either you go start building it positively early, or you're going to suffer and have to fix it later, which means a lot of stuff that you're trying to do is going to have to be put on hold because you've made some mistakes in the early part. We all have done it. And you just want to avoid. You want to avoid that. So being smart about building credit doesn't necessarily mean you have to get every single credit. I mean, I've done it all. I'm 46. I remember my very first credit card I got when I was 19 years old was a Sears credit card. What the heck did I want with Sears at 19? I don't know, but they offered it and I took it. Oh, man. And that started it just started an avalanche of credit issues. And I'm a veteran, so I was in the military and had gotten some other credit with that. And it was just not, you know, and I, much like a lot of people my age who did not have the resources and the tools that are available now for people your age, you know, we didn't have any of this stuff, right? And so my parents didn't have any type of financial literacy. Your mom can probably tell you the same thing. There was no references for financial literacy. Like, how am I going to expect my mom and my dad to teach me anything when they didn't know anything? They're still trying to figure it all out. So I was one of those people that I'm just telling you about. If you don't build it right, you have to fix it later, right? And so, you know, whereas I do believe people have to learn their own lessons and go through their own, you know, go through their own journey. If someone is telling you something that can possibly avoid you from making those mistakes, it's really, really a good idea to just listen to them. Because, you know, if someone is telling you you don't need seven credit cards, you don't need seven credit cards. Like, you don't. Credit can be in place for a really great and positive reason, like real estate. Like, you're going to need credit to be able to buy these, you know, if you're getting money, you need money to purchase, you get these loans to purchase like that flat or whatever, your credit is going to play a part in that. So credit is used, it can be used for very positive ways to make money in the long run. But if you're just going rogue with your credit and just buying stuff because somebody was crazy enough to give you a credit card and now you're going and you're buying all this stuff up, that's not being smart with your credit. And now, have you ever thought about how you're going to pay that stuff back? Because credit isn't just free money, right? Credit is money on loan.
Definitely.
Then people want their money back. So yeah, I just think it's very important, very, very important for, you know, younger individuals. Even, you know, I'm a Gen Xer, but, you know, the millennials, Gen Xers, I think it's just a very important practice to make sure that you're very wise, you know, and things happen to where, you know, sometimes you have to use credit because you're in a situation where you have to use your credit card. That's great. Mm-hmm. But the moment that you're able to get out of that bind, you got to get out of that bind. So the moment you get some money that's extra that you can pay that off or pay that down, you got to be disciplined enough to put that money on that. Don't take that income tax check and go and use it and spend it up on all kinds of crazy stuff. Use that income tax check to pay off that debt that you had to get. Right. So it's just a lot of different like maturing activities that we have to do if we find ourselves in those situations.
So what would be some of the things that, you know, negative credit would prevent, you know, my audience from doing?
Getting a car. Mm. And if you are able to get a car, you're going to get a car with a very high interest rate. Not all vehicles come from the Lord. You know how people say, look at God. Yeah. I got this car and this car got 15% interest. Boo Jesus. Right. He would not give you, he would not put you in a bad deal. Right. Mm-hmm. So you may be able to get a car with bad credit, but the interest rate, and by the time you pay off that car, you could have bought two more cars because the interest rate is going to compound and you're going to pay so much. So purchasing vehicles, purchasing houses, you know, there are people who have, so check this out. There are people who have 750 credit scores. That can't get a loan for a house because their debt to income ratio is too high.
Please.
Sure. So you have your debt to income, meaning you make a certain amount of money, but your debt is 2 to 3 times higher than what you make in your job. There's no way you'll be able to afford to pay that debt and a new house.
Wow. So even with a high credit score,
so
like
even
750?
With a high credit, you could be paying your bills every single month. Like clockwork, making your credit score nice, and the bank will still deny you a home loan because your debt to income ratio is too high. So when we look at credit, your usage. So I found myself in this situation after I got divorced. My percentage, I had good credit, but because I found myself in situations where I was using my credit card for different things, smart choices or not so smart choices, the balances on my credit cards were higher than what they should have been. And so they often say that your percentage of usage on your credit card should be anywhere from 0 to 30% usage. I say keep it around 10-15%, no more than like 20%. Because the moment that it gets higher, your credit score goes down because your usage is too much. You're using too much credit. And so you just want to make sure that you're being smart with your, if you are fortunate to get credit, credit is not the enemy. Irresponsible usage of credit is the enemy, right?
Okay, so that definitely needs to be heard more because, you know, growing up, even me growing up, my parents told me, stay away from credit cards. Stay, you know, the devil, this and that. But
right. And so credit cards are the devil, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing that people say about money. Money is evil. Well, we know that the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. So when you start doing crazy stuff just to get money, now we got a problem. Money ain't never been bad, right? Money ain't never been bad. Credit has never been bad. Credit opens you up. There's good credit. There's such thing as good credit. There's such thing as bad credit, right? When you start being irresponsible with how you use your credit, that becomes bad. And you keep digging holes and you keep digging holes and you keep digging more holes. That's why, the formula for side hustling and all this is your side hustles should pay for your bills. So that's your rent or your mortgage, your utilities, your water, your car insurance, your car payment. Side hustling should pay for that. If you still work a 9-to-5, side hustle should pay for your bills. The earned income, which is your 9-to-5, should pay for your investments or how you're choosing to build wealth. Whether that's real estate investing, whether that's stock market investing, options trading, whatever it is that you want to do, now you have the money to be able to do that because you freed up that earned income by putting in great additional streams of passive income, right? So the way that credit ties into that is there may come a time when you have to use credit to fund something that you're doing to make mm-hmm. yourself money. That's not, I don't see anywhere where that's bad. Mm-hmm. Because the moment you make money, right, the moment you make money and you can multiply that and multiply it and multiply it again, mm-hmm. immediately pay that debt off. The problem is where people use that credit to do whatever they need to do in that business, mm-hmm. and they're not responsible with how they use that money that they've earned from that business, mm-hmm. this credit is still sitting up over here piling on interest. Not a good look. So you have to be very, very mindful of if you're going to use credit to leverage yourself, then as soon as you're leveraged, mm-hmm. get rid of it. And then once you start making money on a regular basis, you won't need to use credit that much anyway.
Makes sense. So use credit to get more money and then pay that credit down. Now we're eating forever.
That's it.
Simple as that.
That should be the plan. And that should be the plan at any age.
Okay. So, you know, put yourself, you know, in my audience shoes. Think back to when you were in high school, college, you just graduated. What are your next money moves?
If I could go back to graduation, mm-hmm. 1991, the 90s was a great decade, man.
I wish I was a teenager around there.
The music was great. Everything was great. Oh my God. The 90s was the best. So I graduated in 1991. But if I can go back to that time frame, one of the things that I definitely would do is I would identify early on. So when I talk about side hustles to people, I just did like a live on a video on this yesterday and posted to my Instagram. Sometimes people are running to try to figure out what their side hustle should be. Mm-hmm. I get DMs all the time. People asking me, what do you think I should do? Do you have any good ideas for me to do side hustles? Do you have any good ideas? You know, and side hustle is different from extra income, right? Mm-hmm. So you can create extra income by investing. You can create passive income by investing in dividend stocks and getting those dividends and then doing options and stuff. That's an mm-hmm. additional stream of income, right? You can do affiliate marketing. That's an additional stream of income. That's not a side hustle. That's an additional stream of income.
Okay.
A side hustle to me, and the mm-hmm. way that I try to explain it is something that it's almost like a business, but it's not a full-fledged business. And so here's my take on side hustling. You should not have to run around trying to figure out what your side hustle should be. Your side hustle is who you are, mm-hmm. right? So the example that I used in my video was I'm a teacher. The gift, the talent, everything that I have in me is to teach people. I don't mm-hmm. care if I'm teaching you how to do math and science in the classroom. I don't care if I'm teaching you how to create an ebook. I don't care mm-hmm. if I'm teaching you the little bit of stuff I know about investing, what I know about money. I'm teaching you, right? Mm-hmm. So that's my side hustle. That's what I do. I figure out ways to make money educating the people, mm-hmm. okay? So when I talk to people about side hustling, the first question I'm going to ask you, when you come to me and ask me what ideas do I have, I'm going to tell you the ideas that I have for you to do a side hustle are societal norms, right? Those mm-hmm. are the ideas that have already been put out there for you. So right. I wrote an ebook, and in that ebook, I put some ideas that people can use to start side hustles, but you have to take it deeper and look within yourself and figure out what is the gift, what is the talent, what is the skill that's already been given to me? Because that's mm-hmm. what you build a side hustle from. You build a side hustle from the gift that you already have. What is it that you love to do? Like, I'm not going to create a side hustle baking because I don't want to be in a kitchen all day baking. That's not my strength. I can bake a mean cake every now and then, but that's not how I'm going to make money, right? Because that's not my thing. But mm-hmm. there are people out there who have been given the gift of baking. Mm-hmm. And if that's your gifting, if that's your passion, if that's your strength, then maybe that's what you need to create a side hustle about and then learn how to incorporate business with that, mm-hmm. right? And so I think that if I could go back, I would identify what it is that I really, really wanted to do and just really figure out a way to make money from it.
Passion.
So I would totally, totally, totally jump out the gate side hustling. Mm-hmm. And then if my desire was to turn that into a business, I would do that. I would initially start investing. Absolutely start investing. If we're talking to your audience and your audience is just getting started, nobody can tell me they don't have no money. I don't care. Some of those stocks are $7 a share. Mm-hmm. Some of those stocks are $25 a share. If you can only buy one stock every 2 weeks, buy something and start investing, and then immerse yourself into the teaching. So I'm also in one of my streams of income is affiliate marketing. And so I actually affiliate market the courses that I took to learn how to invest. I'm one of the that company's affiliates. And so I share with my audience all of the courses that I mean, I learned, like, I didn't have no personal mentor to show me anything. I purchased courses and I started learning. You can learn everything. Like back when I was in 1991, they didn't have none of this. None of this, right? People my age are like, man, if I knew then what I know now. And I say, yeah, you would just know stuff because the resources wouldn't be there. Like there was no Instagram, there's no Facebook, there was no YouTube when we were graduating from high school. So what you gonna do with the information in that you know now? Nothing, because you didn't, you don't have nothing to use with it, right? So yeah, that's what I would, if I could put myself in the shoes of your listeners, it would be develop some additional streams of passive income, create your side hustle, whatever that is, and start investing. Notice I ain't say nothing about college. I'm not against college. Mm-hmm. I'm not against college. I'm just not sure if I would have done the same thing then, knowing what I know now. You know what I'm saying?
Amazing.
Because the rate of return and the return on investment is not the same that it would have been had I just done everything I just gave your audience to do. Right? So what I was taught was go to school, go to college, graduate, get a job. That's what I was taught. If I had a child this day, I would never tell my child to do that. I wouldn't. Because I know what the return on investment is for that. And I don't want my child to come out of college with a mountain of debt. Mm-hmm. And there's no guarantee that you're going to make what you need to make to pay that debt off.
Definitely.
This is a different world that we're living in now.
And we got to adjust to it.
Yeah. You have different options now at your age. You can make, man, y'all got 15,000 different ways to make money. I learn from millennials every day. Every day. I am not too ashamed to be like, okay, little 24-year-old, what you got for me today? Because we didn't have that.
Makes sense. Tell us how important it is to balance your work life, you know, and your personal life.
So I coach people on this. One of the other things that I do is...
Okay, side hustle.
Right. I help people kind of balance the work. So this is a very good question. And I think that it's important because a lot of us don't know how to do it. We don't, especially the people who have side hustles and especially the people who are entrepreneurially minded and business minded. There is no downtime, right? And sometimes we sacrifice family for that. Sometimes we sacrifice vacations for that because we're trying to get to this end goal and we realize we only have a certain amount of time to get it done. Mm-hmm. But what we also don't realize is that if we were able to better manage our time and compartmentalize levels of priority, we would be able to get everything done and still be able to take a breather, right? So when it comes to balancing work and personal, you have to be true to your word, the word that you give yourself. Meaning if I say that I'm going to take the next 4 hours off completely. I'm not doing any work. I'm not answering any emails. I'm not checking any voicemails. I'm not talking about anything that does not positively affect my well-being, my emotional, my mental well-being. If we aren't able to stay loyal to that, that's where the problem comes with work-life imbalance. Because we don't know how to cut the cord. And so the first person that you have to be loyal to is yourself. Your word, like if you make a contract with yourself and you say, I'm taking off next week, and next week means I'm not doing anything business. If you say that, you gotta mean that. And you cannot give yourself a pass when you do it and say, oh my God, that's just how I am. I knew I was going to do that. You can't do that, because we are going to respond to what our brains tell us to do. And your brain is telling you, you can do that. Don't worry about it. You can do that. So how important is it? It's majorly important. I struggle with it all the time. I cannot, for the life of me, I cannot sit down in front of a movie and just, and this just happened, I would probably say it's on, this just happened probably over the last 6 to 12 months that it's gotten really bad. I cannot sit in front of a movie without my computer right next to me and my mind telling me, oh, you gotta do that. I'll pull, my boyfriend can be sitting right next to me over watching this movie with me, and I'll have my computer sitting on my lap, and I'm trying to watch a movie and I'm trying to work on something. You cannot multitask. There's no such thing as multitasking. So people think, oh, I'm multi. My best friend was telling me yesterday, she's like, I'm sorry I made that mistake on that text. I was trying to multitask. I say, you do know multitasking is a fallacy, right? It doesn't even exist. And she was like, no, you're right. Yeah, everybody does it all the time. They say they're doing it all the time. Multitasking doesn't exist. So, and the reason I say it doesn't exist is because if I have a computer in front of me and a movie right there, I can't possibly follow what's going on in that movie and put out some great content. Something is going to, I'm going to let go of something.
Yep.
Right? Yep, you're not multi, I'm not watching TV and working on my computer and listening to him talk to me. I can't, I don't have the capacity to do that. So that's why work-life balance is very important. And you have to make up in your mind, is my family important? Is my job important? Is my business important? Okay, yes, they're all important. But how do I balance my attention to all of them without compromising any of them?
I agree 100%. It's a lot of people out there, especially for entrepreneurs, that we get talked down a lot. There's a lot of negativity and criticism. Tell us how important it is to cut off negativity around you.
Important like yesterday. So you have to become okay with you. And sometimes people aren't okay with living with them. And so they surround themselves with anything because they need to have that, I don't even know what to call it. Like, they need to have that validation from just having people in their life. No matter if that person is bringing you great vibes or if that person is bringing you bad vibes. And then we wonder why our energy and our vibration is always off. Your energy and your vibration is off because you are not taking care of what you're allowing to infiltrate that vibration. I don't have a problem being by myself in my space. I grew up an only child, right? So I love to be by myself. I love to have people around. My circle is extremely small. And I've come to learn that having a small circle is fine. I moved to Chicago 3 years ago by myself. And I've had to embrace the idea of, you know what, sometimes in order for excellence to birth, sometimes you have to be a solopreneur. Like, you have to be this person who is okay with managing your own piece. So to answer your question, it is probably capital T, capital H, capital E. Most important thing you can ever do for yourself is to better manage the influences that you have on your life. Absolutely. I mean, even if that means your job gotta go. If your job is toxic, I don't care if you're making $175,000 a year. If your job is toxic and you are continually around toxic individuals who don't value what you bring to the table, and it's always messing up your vibration so much so that when you come home, you're yelling at the people that you love, you gotta let that go. You do.
I agree.
Life is too short. It's too short.
It is. It truly is. And if you really want to grow, you know, it requires separation. So I agree 100%.
Yep, it does. Elevation requires separation. It does. I remember a former principal of mine used to tell me, she told me, she said, Makiba, it's lonely at the top. And at that point, I only had my bachelor's degree and I was starting this new position teaching this grade. But she said, it's lonely at the top. I was like, why you say that? And we just started talking about some stuff. And I was like, I never really wanted to embrace that. But the truth of the matter is, And it's not a bad thing. I mean, you know, God, like I said, I'm a Christian. God will bring people to you that you absolutely need to further, you know, the assignment. But it's absolutely okay for you to resolve yourself to right now, I just need me because I know I'm not going to hurt myself. So, yeah, it's the most important thing you need to do.
I love that. I had to hear that for myself.
It is. You'll see when you got a lot that you're doing right now, people are going to understand it. So you really have to compartmentalize and really figure out like
what matters. Well, Dr. Butler, we have one more question for you. So I'm going to read two quotes to you and you tell me which quote is more accurate in your opinion.
Okay.
All right. So the first quote is money can't buy happiness. And the second quote is more money, more problems. Which one is more?
More problems.
Okay. Okay. That was quick. That was quick.
Yeah. I'm not going to say number one because I think everybody knows that. Like everybody knows that money can't buy you happiness. But I'm going to say the one that rings more true to me is more money, more problems. And if you are not, and so this is why I say that. Spiritually speaking, to whom much is given, much is required. Right? So that's the spiritual way of saying it. The not so spiritual way of saying it is the way that Bad Boy for Life said it, more money, more problems, right? And if you are not disciplined enough to be able to adjust the way that you think about money and the way that you interact with money and the relationship that you have with money, you're going to make a lot of money and not have anything to show for it, right? So the way that things are set up today, internet, the way the internet is and the way that you can build your network, you can make $100,000 in a week. If you are not the person that you need to be, if you have not been taught structures, if you have not been taught principles, if you have not learned money management, if you have not learned, all of that can be a curse to you. And so before, everybody desires to make a lot of money. Everybody desires to make six figures. Everybody desires to be a millionaire one day. But how many millionaires have we heard about that have killed themselves?
Yeah.
Because money doesn't mean anything if you don't know how to adjust yourself to what money brings to you. And so I think that's where both of those quotes kind of converge with one another. Money does not bring happiness. It brings options, but it doesn't bring happiness. And if you're not 100% happy with yourself and full of joy and complete and confident, all of these other pieces that bring the puzzle of life together, then leading into, it's going to cause problems for you.
Amazing. Amazing. I definitely appreciate your time, Dr. Butler.
Oh, you're
Thanks
welcome.
For joining us on FY Fly the Podcast. And let the audience know where to reach you. Any final words? Go ahead.
Yes. Thank you so much, Hassan. This is amazing. I really appreciate you having me on. I'm so glad that we met with each other on Instagram. I love the fact Hassan reached out to me on Instagram. And I love Instagram, right? I am a millennial on Instagram, y'all. I am not a Gen Xer on Instagram. I am a millennial finding my way on Instagram. So that is where you can find me. I am active on Instagram. My Instagram name is at @thee, not T-H-E. But T-H-E-E-V educated Maven, E-D-E-E-D-U-C-A-T-E-D Maven. So please look me up on Instagram. That is the best way to find me. I right now have like this amazing, amazing ebook that I wrote called How to Make $1,000 in 7 Days. And the reason why that's so important is because, again, everybody wants to make six figures and $10,000 a month and all this stuff. But they don't know how to consistently make $1,000. If you don't know how to consistently make $1,000, then how are you going to be able to do anything else? And so that's kind of the entrance into teaching people how to make money online. So that's where you can find me, The Educated Maven on Instagram.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We love it. Thank you so much again.
Now
we're going to take it back to Remy G and I for one of our favorite segments called Did You Know? Let's go. Welcome back. Glad y'all stayed locked in with Remy G and me, because now we're about to hit y'all with some cold hard facts. Did you know the top 5 stocks invested by millennials are Apple, Facebook, Amazon, Tesla, and Netflix?
Did you know nearly half of Americans don't even understand the basic financial markets?
Did you know Social Security keeps 1/3 of older Americans out of poverty?
Did you know 35% of Americans can't afford to retire?
Did you know there are 60 major stock exchanges in the world with a total value of $69 trillion?
Did you know more Americans own cash than stocks?
Man, so now y'all know we ain't gonna leave y'all without some important takeaways from today's episode. Bottom line is, time and consistency are the true keys to wealth. And the only way that we're gonna find out who's putting that work in now is by waiting, because time will tell.
We all need to start right now, especially with the economy we're in. The stock market has always and will bounce back. Investing early and often will put you on the quickest path to financial freedom and later lead us to being financially stable and secure, baby.
So let's start being intentional and purposeful with our money, because we can literally set ourselves up to be millionaires when we get older. Whether you're investing $50, $100, or $1,000, just like Nike, baby, just do it. The investing power of a 20-year-old compared to a 30-year-old is huge, so we got to take advantage of our youth while we got it. Let's earn interest, not pay it. So from the big general and me, stay safe,
stay invested,
and stay fly.
Thank you all for listening to FY Fly the Podcast, and we hope you enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for more financial literacy insights with our special guest. Please visit our website, social media platforms, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at FYI Fly Podcast. That's FYI FLI Podcast. See y'all next week and stay fly.
But don't y'all go anywhere just yet. Stay tuned, as each week here on FYI Fly, we like to give an independent artist a place to shine and gain some exposure. This week we have How It Feel by Angelo. Let's get it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's just how I feel.
Just gonna let y'all know how I feel. Yeah.
Bang, bang, bells ring your day. No, it ain't the same. The pain I'm trying to be. Saying I can't, no, I can't. Fake these faking haters, hating. Snaking, snaking, said I'm naked. Put the face, put my face. See the blacks and people hating. Oh Lord, with Dubai begin with sin minus the man. No, that is not my problem, eh. You must think you got a way of trying to fight. You stepping me like stepping speed on.